Hello and welcome to another Fast Five. This week it's Jem. And what I want to talk to you is about what we know or think we know about people's view of their own place in history. You see, I'm pretty sure that you're the listeners to this podcast, and me, I'm happy to put myself in the same category, are unlikely to echo down the years. But there are some people who we remember from history that may not necessarily have wanted to be remembered that way. For example, now this is conjecture, it's fairly safe to say that Henry VIII would probably be appalled at how he is remembered nowadays, particularly if you were to ask the young Henry VIII, maybe aged 25 or 30. You see, the thing is that we have a title, one of the many titles that the monarchs of Great Britain have, which is Defender of the Faith. Now, you may think that that is defending the Church of England or Church of Scotland, but actually, no, it couldn't be further from the case. Defender of the Faith was a title accorded by the Pope to Henry VIII because he had actually written a number of treaties against the Protestant faith, claiming it to be heresy, but arguing it in an intelligent way. Likewise, Henry, early on in his reign, would probably have been happy with just the one wife. He was not actively trying to rack up more than any other English king in history. And so on and so forth. I think you get the idea with Henry that the fact we now remember him as the angry one, the fat one, the one who set up the Church of England, none of these things I think were particularly being aspired by Henry. But we have other examples. I'm actually going to raise three examples, two Russians and one American. Sorry, two Americans and one Russian. Let's just get the nationalities right, shall we? First of all, there is Mikhail Kalashnikov. Yes, the inventor of the AK-47. Now, the thing about Kalashnikov is he had been wounded in World War II, and he was aware that some of the German weapons were superior to Soviet ones. So he set himself out to create a reliable and effective Soviet version of the early assault rifles the Germans were using on the Eastern Front. By the time it had been designed and brought into production, it was in the year 1947. Obviously 2 years after it was necessarily needed. But it is, of course, what happened after that that Kalashnikov himself could never have known. Now, to be clear, because he was working for the Soviet Union and nobody can have private property if you're part of a communist regime, his idea and designs, etc., etc., were part of the state. So while he was the designer, he in no way prospered from his invention. Now, that's not what he's sad about, but the fact is this. It has become the most mass-produced weapon ever in history. Over 100 million AK-47s and variations thereof, not just made in the Soviet Union, but also in places like China as well, have killed millions in numerous civil wars and is still being used to this day in all kinds of areas that are nowhere near the Eastern Front of World War II. In his later years, he was a very devout Orthodox Christian, and he was very worried about what this might lead to, how it might affect his soul. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to keep pushing on. Then we got Richard Nixon, a man who's synonymous with dirty dealing and dodgy goings-on. But it is forgotten that when Neil Armstrong messaged back the President of the United States when he landed on the moon, it was Richard Nixon on the other end of the line. Richard Nixon brought an end to the open wound that was the Vietnam War in American public psyche. He also was the person who opened up communication with China. All these things are quite impressive, but he'll be forever associated with scandal and Watergate. Finally, let's get a woman in here. This is actually my favourite. Louisa May Alcott, the writer of Little Women, a seminal feminist piece bringing realism to the plight of 19th century women. It is a huge international bestseller. that she hated writing. She wanted to write thrillers and adventure stories, but she was told that she should try and write something for women, as she was one. Her initial thoughts as she looked at the first few chapters of Little Women was it was really boring, and until her niece pleaded with her to continue writing it, saying, "Oh, it's really good stuff," she eventually did so, and she begrudgingly wrote a sequel, Little Men, that only came out about 2-3 years later, and then she hated the whole project so much, everybody had to wait about 15 years for her to do a third book of the series. Meanwhile, she wanted to write more thrillers, and generally never rated her incredibly famous book at all. So, I've gone over the 5 minutes. Thanks for listening. Longer podcast on Tuesdays. See you then.